Morning. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. As mentioned, we are continuing our study in 1 Corinthians, and today's portion is verses 17 to 40. If you look at the first verse of chapter 7, it reads, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me." So, Apostle Paul is answering in this chapter the specific questions asked by the Corinthian church, mainly dealing with the personal walk of a believer. Paul is describing in this chapter the important issues like marriage, divorce, singleness, and the circumstances of a believer's life. Last week we studied verses 1 to 16 dealing with Christian marriage, and we have been reminded that it is a picture of Christ and the church, his bride. And we also had been reminded that divorce is not an option for a believer. This week we shall look at verses 17 to 40. Let me read first 8 verses, 17 to 24. "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can make it free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called." May the Lord add his blessing reading this precious word. Verses 17 to 24, Paul is mainly dealing with the whole area of a believer's life in regarding calling and accepting the situation where God placed him. The word called or calling occurs 9 times in these 8 verses. Paul's instruction to the believers in Corinth is that they should willingly accept the circumstance into which God has called them and be content to serve him there. He reminds them that they can please God just where they are. They do not have to change their circumstances to serve God. Many of us are not satisfied in the circumstances where God has placed us. We always think that we can serve God better if we are in a different situation. Paul's advice here for the believers is that God wants us to be faithful where we have been placed. God can use us in our present situation for his glory if we are obedient to him and available for him. In verse 17, Paul says, "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk." Apostle Paul is reminding the believers in Corinth that their circumstances are not important compared to their high calling, but their desire to serve God is important. Apostle Paul gives two illustrations from the Church of Corinth. They are the issues of circumcision and slavery. In verse 18 we read, "Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised." Jewish Christians in Corinth believed that circumcision was necessary to be a true servant of Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 19 that circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Pretty strong words, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. So Paul is teaching here that present situation in life is secondary, where compared to our eternal life in heaven. Our primary focus in life should be to keep the commandments of God. That is the most important thing. Our life should be fully committed to Christ and make Jesus Christ the center of our life. Remember, God is the one who gives us satisfaction, peace, and joy, not our circumstances. Similarly, Paul says in verse 21 that slavery is not a hindrance in serving God. Paul is not promoting slavery. He tells the Corinthians in the same words that if they can, they should gain their freedom. But regarding their relationship with God was concerned, slavery was not an issue. One could serve God faithfully as a slave, as someone who was free. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, Paul reminds the servants, it reads like this, "Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men." That is what God expects from each one of us. Always faithful to God, wherever God placed us, in any circumstances in our life. In verse 20, Paul says, "Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called." Apostle Paul is not saying that a person after accepting Jesus Christ cannot seek to progress in their career or in education. That is not the meaning of that verse. A Christian should be faithful and fulfill his responsibilities to his best of his abilities as unto the Lord. That is, the scripture teaches. What Paul is explaining here, that you do not have to leave your job, divorce your wife or husband to serve God. That was the things happening in Corinthian church. If a husband becomes a Christian, he should be a better husband. If a wife becomes a Christian, she should be a better wife. Some of the believers in the Corinthian church were using their Christianity as a justification for irresponsible changes in their family life and their social circumstances. In verse 23, Paul says that you are bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. God gave his only begotten Son for us and purchased us from the bondage of sin and Satan. Peter reminds us that we are not redeemed with the corruptible things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So God knows all the circumstances in our lives. He has a plan and purpose for each one of our lives. We do not need to change those circumstances in order to serve God or use by God. Remember, God has the power to change any situation in our lives. Until He does, we should trust and obey Him. We have a number of examples in the Bible where the people of God in adverse circumstances, but they lived obedient to God, and God used them in their circumstances for His glory. For example, Joseph was a very young man when he was sold by his brothers into slavery. The circumstances of his life took him from a favorite son of his father to a slave, from there to prison, and from there to the palace of the king of Egypt. But Joseph was faithful to God in all those circumstances, whether it was a prison or a palace. He never questioned God, and he was obedient to God in every situation, and God used him for His glory in the land of Egypt. Another example is Queen Esther. Is another beautiful example of fulfilling a role forced upon her. Esther realized that God was calling her for a special purpose, and we know that God used Esther to save the Jews from the complete extinction. She was faithful and remained where God called her. I mentioned earlier, slavery is not an issue regarding our relationship with God is concerned. There is a beautiful example in 2 Kings chapter 5. You know the story of Naaman. Naaman was a mighty man. He was the general of the Syrian army, but he was a leper. And there was a slave girl from Israel in his house. We don't know her name even. But in verse 3, chapter 5, 2 Kings, we read like this: "If only my master were with a prophet called Elisha, who is in Samaria, for he would heal him." She was so confident and gave her testimony to his wife, saying that my master can be healed if you go to the prophet Elisha. And we know the story. He was healed completely. And she was faithful in her adverse circumstance as a witness for the Lord. I was thinking, are we able to point someone to the Lord in our circumstances where God has placed us? So, Apostle Paul says here, whatever our situation is, God can use us for His glory if we are obedient and available for the Lord. Question is, are we obedient to God's calling in lives? Are we available for God? That is the difficult part. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus told His disciples that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Often we are reluctant to obey God's calling in our lives because it requires personal sacrifices. Paul says in verse 24, "Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein remain or abide with God." That is the key. We should learn to abide with God. Now, let's look at verses 25 to 40. In this verses, Paul is dealing mainly with the issue of singleness as an option along with marriage. In the New Testament times, it was considered something very rare for a man or a woman to remain single. Among the Jews, a man who did not marry and raise children was considered not obeying the commandments of God to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. But in verse 25 to 40, Paul is giving 6 advantages of being single. The reason is, they can be totally devoted their life to God in service. That is the reason. Paul begins in verse 25, if you look, by admitting that he has no direct command from the Lord regarding this subject. In verse 26 we read, I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. So the first, singleness is good because of the present distress. What is this present distress Paul is talking about? Paul lived in a day when Christians were under heavy persecution. We read in the book of Acts that Paul had been beaten a number of times, arrested and put into jail for proclaiming the gospel. Others had been put to death and imprisoned for preaching the gospel. Even now, Christians are persecuted in many countries in the world. Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, in a time of distress or in a time of persecution like this, a marriage can be a hindrance to proclaim the gospel. It is one thing to face this kind of persecution as one who is single, but it is quite another thing to face such persecution when you are caring for a wife and children. Because of the hard persecution during that time, Paul advised the Corinthian believers to remain in their present situation and be content in staying single. In verse 27, Paul says, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Or if you are married, stay married. Do not try to divorce your husband or wife. Paul has already shown in the earlier verses of chapter 7, which we studied last week, the marriage is to be permanent. Do not separate what God has joined together. So, Paul is advising here that singleness is good because of the present distress or present persecution. That is the reason why Paul is saying that. Second, singleness is good because of the troubles of this life. Verse 28. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, that she has not sinned, nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Paul explains here, marriage is not wrong, not sin, it is good, but it has its own hardships and difficulties. Here is the principle. Being single is good. Being married is also good. God can use both, whether you are single or married, for His glory. But single people often lose sight of the responsibilities and difficulties in marriage. They lose sight of what Paul calls the troubles in the flesh. But there is a blessing for the single people or single believers. You do not have to face the difficulties or challenges in a married life, or even the pain of the death of a spouse. Third, singleness is good because of the temporary nature of this age. Verse 29 to 31. Let me read that. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep, as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice, as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy, as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. As we go through our daily life, we very rarely stop and ask ourselves, how my actions of this day will affect the eternity. That is the point Paul is making here. Paul is reminding us that we have only a short time in this world. See, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. All believers should lead a life with eternity in mind. Our life on this earth is very short compared to eternity. We have only a very short time to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. Our Lord Jesus Christ will come very soon. I want you to turn at a verse in Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 5. Psalm 39, verse 5. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my ages as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best age, is but a vapor. Psalmist says here, every man at his best age is but a vapor. That is the condition of any man. When you look at life from God's perspective, it is very short. You are here today, and tomorrow you are gone. When we realize that truth, we look at your life differently. Paul points out in verses 29 and 30, four areas where our perspective will change. First, the area of marriage or the area of our relationships. Verse 29, from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Second, the area of sorrow or the area of our difficulties and afflictions in this world. Verse 30, those who weep as though they did not weep. Three, the area of rejoicing, or the area of our worldly enjoyment. Same verse, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Fourth, the area of buying and selling, or the area of our material possessions. Same verse, those who buy as though they did not possess. So Paul says in each of these areas of our believer's life should have a different outlook compared to an unbeliever. Death is the end of life for an unbeliever. But for a believer, it is the first step towards eternity. Paul says the details of this life, like marriage, sorrow, rejoicing, buying and selling, are relatively unimportant compared to eternity. I'm not saying those things are not important, but when you compare with eternal life, they are not important. The question is where you are going to spend your eternity. If you are not sure about it, I want you to think about it very seriously today. For a believer, Paul says in verse 31, this world is not our permanent place. It will soon pass away. We are always preoccupied with many things in this world now. Please remember that all those things are not important compared to eternity. Fourth, singleness is good because of undivided devotion to God. Verse 32 to 35. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of this world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So Paul is saying here that the one who is married has to think about his family first in all the decisions he makes, how his actions will affect his family. Often domestic duties come in the way of their commitment to Christ. So his interests are divided. But who is single really has to think about himself alone, and especially when he making any decisions. He can devote his life completely to God. So that is why singleness is good, because of undivided devotion to God. Fifth, singleness is good because it does not have to be permanent. Look verse 36 to 38. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let him marry. Nevertheless, who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin as well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. Here Paul considers first a father's duty to his unmarried daughter. In Bible times, parents had an active role in deciding who their children would marry. There were fathers in the Corinthian church who permitted their daughters to remain single so that they could serve God more effectively in that place. But Paul says in verse 37 that man has to settle the matter in his own mind. If the father decides to give his daughter in marriage or not to give his daughter in marriage, in both cases, Paul says, he is doing the right thing. Remember, being single does not have to be permanent. You can decide to remain single, then later you can decide to marry. But that is not the case with marriage. Marriage is permanent. This brings to our last point, that singleness is good because marriage is permanent. Look verse 39. Wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. So the last reason Paul gives for remaining single is that marriage is permanent. Young people, please listen carefully. Marriage is not to be considered lightly, because it is for life. It is permanent. In verse 39, Paul says that a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. or until his death. It is true not only for the woman, but also for man. In God's design, marriage is a permanent relationship that lasts for a lifetime. If we take marriage seriously, then divorce should never be an option. We should honor marriage because God made it holy. So let me conclude here. In the first portion, Paul is reminding that believers, all believers, that God has called us and separated us, paying a very high price, his only son. God knows all our needs. He knows everything about us, our past, our future. He knows all the circumstances of our life. Remember, he has a plan and purpose for each one of us. We do not need to change those circumstances in order to be used by God. We should be obedient to God in all those circumstances so that God can use us. God has the power to change any situation in our life. And if he does, it is good to trust and obey him. Second, singleness and marriage are both within God's design. The question is, which is God's plan for you? As I mentioned in the beginning, please remember that Paul encourages the Corinthian believers to remain single so that they can serve God better and more effectively, and not to enjoy a Corinthian-style single lifestyle, or to avoid the responsibility of a marriage. Paul says here that a single believer can have complete devotion to God than a married person. Remember, marriage is not to be considered lightly, because in God's design, marriage is a permanent relationship that lasts for a lifetime. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. Thank you for our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and purchased us from our bondage of sin and Satan. And you have placed us in different circumstances in our lives. And we know that you have a definite plan for each one of us. Father, we pray that help us to be obedient to you and available for our Lord Jesus Christ so that God can use us. We commit all of us to thee. Pray that you continue to bless us. And we pray, send us with thy blessing. We ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.